In the Chesmore and Dunn cases, the precise issue before me was whether or not the debtor, particularly in Chesmore, could use Section 21-1851 to claim exempt wages that there was no room to claim exempt under 43-45-4. So the precise issue that's before me this afternoon was not before me in that case, and this is, in fact, my first opportunity to actually rule on the question. Debtors have claimed their accrued but unpaid wages exempt under SDCL Section 43-45-4. And on its face, Section 43-45-4 would appear to permit them to do so. However, that section cannot be read in isolation. Both Section 21-1853 and Section 43-45-14 provide, and I quote, "The earnings of a debtor are exempt from process or levy only to the extent provided in Sections 21-1851 and 21-1852. Sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14 are clear, certain, and unambiguous. And for the reasons I outlined in my February 27, 2006 letter to counsel, it would appear the only task left to me is to enforce them according to their terms. And according to their terms, Sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14 prevent a debtor from claiming his wages exempt under Section 43-45-4 or any other statute other than Sections 21-1851 and 21-1852. However, and it's a big however, even when confronted with a clear, certain, and unambiguous statute, a court must presume the legislature did not intend an absurd result. And if that clear, certain, and unambiguous statute appears to conflict with another statute, the court must attempt to give meaning to both and to make them harmonious and workable. I refer counsel to the case of Very v. City of Belfouche, 598 Northwest 2nd, 544, South Dakota, 1999, and the citations therein, although as a practical matter, any of the cases cited in my earlier letter say pretty much the same thing. If Sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14 are interpreted to bar a debtor from claiming exempt under Section 43-45-4 accrued but unpaid wages not subject to a garnishment, a debtor who was being garnished could protect a specified portion of his accrued but unpaid wages under Sections 21-1851 or 52. But a debtor who was not being garnished could not protect any of his accrued but unpaid wages. And a debtor who received his paycheck the day before filing a bankruptcy petition and deposited his paycheck in his checking account could, assuming he had not maxed out his exemptions under Section 43-45-4, claim those funds exempt. But a debtor who received his paycheck the day after filing a bankruptcy petition could not. Both results are absurd. I must therefore presume the South Dakota legislature did not intend them. In addition, as debtors have pointed out, notwithstanding Sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14, a debtor may in fact protect his wages under at least two other statutes, SDCL Sections 15-20-12 and 21-19-17. Those statutes, even more clearly than Section 43-45-4, appear to be in direct conflict with Sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14. However, the conflict is readily resolved if Sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14 are interpreted to mean only that a debtor may not use Section 43-45-4 to stack his exemptions and exempt the portion of his accrued but unpaid wages subject to garnishment that he is not able to exempt under Sections 21-1851 or 52. That interpretation also avoids the absurd results that would follow from a literal interpretation of sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14. The South Dakota Supreme Court does not appear to have addressed the precise issue before the court this afternoon. However, in Accounts Management, Inc. versus Williams, 484 Northwest 2nd, 297-300, SD 1992, the Supreme Court did suggest sections 21-1853 and 43-45-14 were intended to close what the court described as a loophole in section 43-45-4 that, and I quote, would have allowed many individuals subject to garnishment with earnings to exempt much, if not all, of their earnings from garnishment as additional personal property exemptions. While the Supreme Court did not draw as clear a distinction between wages and garnished wages as it might have, its description of the purpose behind sections 21-1853 and 43-45-4 is consistent with and indeed supports this Court's interpretation of those provisions. For these reasons, I conclude neither section 21-1853 nor 43-45-14 bars a debtor from exempting under 43-45-4 accrued but unpaid wages not subject to garnishment to the extent permitted by section 43-45-4. Trustee Allred's objection is therefore overruled, and the court will enter an appropriate order.